Congregation, we will begin this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 417, stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy holy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace thou wilt provide. 417, stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. But first, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem, thus far.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee on this Lord's Day that for the second time the doors of thy house have been opened, and thou wast granted the privilege, the opportunity, and the blessing to enter through those doors. Thou knowest most perfectly how that we have all come up to thy house, when it was only form and duty, was according to thy command, and that shall not stand thee in the way. May there have come up those souls hungering and thirsting with those living desires. Give a humble and a broken heart to acknowledge thee for all thy mercies. They are great, they are manifold, and then we do well to count them one by one. They are also undeserved. Well, to grant an impression thereof in this hour, can confess much with our lips, can be so reformed, but thou requires that what the tongue speaks, that it may come out of the heart. The apostle is written to the church, and who maketh thee to differ? And that is thee alone, where thou yet maketh the great difference with so many, most of the inhabitants upon the earth. Then we commend unto thee the country which thou was shaken by an earthquake. So much death, so much mourning, so many families living between hope and fear. Wilt thou help the rescuers, and may it all be used, that sinners may be shaken away, awake, and that thy church may be given to make their calling and election sure. Remember the country at war, many sanctuaries destroyed, not possible to go up to thy house. And Lord, then thou grantest so many blessings to us and our children. And it is written in thy word, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. We humbly ask thee for an indispensable blessing upon thy holy word. May it be for true conversion. Oh, convert our little boys and our girls. Give them a new heart. Convert our young people. Grant unto them by thy grace that precious choice of a Ruth, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Wilt thou remember the middle-aged and the elderly ones? For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Wilt thou spare us and our children, that we deceive not our poor soul? We need thy work wrought and glorified in our heart, that loving and irresistible work of thy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest who are thine, thy Zion. Thou knowest their condition. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Wilt thou grant that close, that dependent, and that tender life, needing thy dear Son as their prophet, their priest, and their king. May there be no rest outside of the knowledge of thy dear Son. It is declared in thy word, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Lord, remember this portion of thy vineyard. Wilt thou remember and help thy servant, bless his labors richly together with the consistory. May there be many Aarons and hers. Bless thy word in the church. Bless thy word in the family circles. And bless thy word in the Christian school. Remember all those that labor therein. When thy word may be opened, make it a blessing for young and old, and grant traveling mercies from day to day. We commend thy church unto thee, the established churches. May it please thee to grant more labors in thy vineyard, more teachers for our Christian schools. Oh, do uphold the persecuted church. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, our mission field, thy servants and the team. May they experience that thou art an everywhere present God, that the labors may be blessed. And remember him with his wife and children, who in the future hope to be sent to our mission field. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Thou hast sent the angel of death by renewal through the midst of the congregation. We commend that mourning family with all other mourning ones unto thee. May out of the mourning for loved ones another mourning be born. And that is a mourning for our sin and the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the elderly ones, all those in the care home, and those that may lovingly care for them, those who may still go in and out. Wilt thou remember all the sick, all the afflicted, dreaded diseases, all the different circumstances, they are most perfectly known unto thee. May it please thee, if it may be according to thy will, to bless the means, above all sanctify the callings. Remember the family circles, may love abound. When it is different, wilt thou grant repentance. Wilt thou remember those who were struggling with temptations and addictions. May we be given to remember one another, O Lord. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Continue to provide the daily bread for our family circles. Remember our poor nation, we have departed so far from thee. Remember our leaders federally, provincially, and of the different cities and towns. Oh, could there yet be a returning? And thou was written in thy holy word, the time is come, thy judgment must begin at the house of God. Wilt thou grant unto thy church a repenting of our evil and worldly ways? May we be given to see the signs of the times, hear the footsteps of the King, and a hastening born for our life's sake, to find a place of shelter under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel, our Lord, who perceives it. We humbly ask thee in this evening hour, do remember us, be mindful of us, dwell richly amongst us and our children. May it please thee to open thy word, to open the heavens, to open our mouth, to open the ears, and to open the hearts. Then it shall be a good evening, our Lord. Have nothing to plead upon. Our sins, they are great and manifold. 'Tis so needly that godly sorrow in the times in which we live, but may we be given to plead upon thy great mercy, the multitude of thy tender mercies, through Jesus Christ, as the way to the Father, by the work of the Spirit. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 362, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldest mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. And what follows, Psalter 362, the three stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, the verses 8, 9, and 10, where God's word and our text reads thus: I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than an other beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than an other beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Our text words speak about the bride's exclamation, my beloved who is white and ruddy, with three thoughts. In the first place, the charging bride. Secondly, the question bride. And thirdly, the glorying bride. The bride's exclamation, my beloved who was white and ruddy. Three simple points. Short boys and girls, so when your father and mother ask you on the way home, what were the three points, then you can tell them. Thus, first, the charging bride. Secondly, the question bride. And thirdly, the glorying bride. Thus, first, the charging bride. Beloved hearers, the book of the Song of Solomon that speaks of Solomon and his bride, a beautiful type of the greater Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. And then in our text words, then we read of the daughters of Jerusalem and of the bride. Do you know, young people, what we mean when we speak of the daughters of Jerusalem and of the bride in a spiritual way? Let me reword the question. Have you now become such a daughter? When we think of the church, of daughters of Jerusalem that desire a bridegroom, then in spiritual life, it is the same as in natural life. Fathers and mothers do not receive a child that when it can speak, that such a little child, one of the first words is, Father and mother, I need a husband. No. What do little children do, boys and girls? They do not begin to speak right away, but they cry. And that is necessary for us. We need to be born again, that we may become a son and daughter by the grace of God by the work of the Holy Spirit. And what then takes place, boys and girls? I read in the Epistle of Peter that then we desire the sincere milk of the Word. Then we become thirsty and hungry for the things of the Lord. And then we learn who God is and who we are. Then we shall experience that separation. The Lord, He draws by the cords of love. Thus there must be a beginning, people. Has there now been a beginning in our life? Have we experienced that new birth? It's indispensable. Christ has said to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 3, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. But now it is necessary when fathers and mothers, when they receive a child, and when that child does not grow, then the parents are filled with great concern. It is a blessing when there may be such children born in the midst of the church. How long ago has it been in Cortland that a son and daughter was born in Zion, that we have become a true seeker, seeking for the things of the Lord. But we have stated children must grow up. And now in our text words, then we have daughters who have become older that desire a bridegroom. And we read in our text of the bride that has become the bride of the bridegroom. Oh, she has experienced much when we think of those daughters. And then we read in chapter 3, the last three verses. And Solomon made himself a chariot of the cedars of Lebanon. Those pillars, they were of silver. The top was of purple. The floor of gold. And the midst paved thereof with love for the daughters of Jerusalem and congregation, young and old. There is still room in that golden chariot for us and our children. And that golden chariot may ride through the midst of the congregation when God's word is read and when it is preached. How is it with us? Has that need been born, experienced in our heart for that glorious chariot? Because in that chariot, then it is well, and then we are safe. And what do we now do with that chariot? When the king, we read in Genesis 41, of Joseph as a type of Christ, that he rode through the land in that chariot, and that the command went forth, bow the knee. Has that now taken place in our life? Fathers and mothers, how is it in our family circles? Do we instruct our children? But do our children see? Because our children sense it. how it is with father and mother. What a place that the Lord and his holy word has in their lives and in their heart. But now to come to our text words, and then we have heard it read that the bride has come in a backslidden condition, living off of her justification, living off of the blessings. And then we have heard it that the bridegroom had been on a journey for the welfare of his kingdom. He has returned in the cool of the night, covered with dew, and then he has knocked on the door. And then we would think, oh, in the beginning, then the church shall never think that it shall come so low, so lukewarm, and so backslidden. Ah, the church learns more and more the value of that five-letter word, grace. Grace in the beginning, grace in the furtherance, and grace to the end. The church needs grace to need grace, to desire grace, to receive grace, to use grace, and to end in that free and sovereign grace. But that bride, she was lying on the bed of slothfulness, not time to broaden it out. And the bridegroom is knocked on the door. How is it with that knocking? Then in this evening, then the Lord comes by renewal to knock on the door of our hearts. My son, my daughter, give me thy heart. But now to remain with the bride, as she has put off her coat, and it was too much effort to put it on. Oh, that lukewarmness, that backsliding. Ah, their confession can still be so reformed and so orthodox, but the life is out of it. To say it simply for our children, what would we now think of a marriage where the bride was satisfied with the marriage license in the cupboard, and that she would not be a true helpmate, doing her best to please her husband? And we can broaden it out and to seek that union and that communion. Oh, the church learns that an unfaithful church, that they have such a faithful covenant God, notwithstanding all their wanderings, their lukewarmness, the hardness of heart. Do you have trouble? That is now a sign when we have received the heart of flesh. Then we have trouble, and alas, would a church have more trouble? Then they would be more bound at the throne of grace. But they have trouble with that hard heart. Job, in Job 23, verse 16, was given to speak those precious words, "For God maketh my heart soft, was by the work of the Spirit virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. But now the bridegroom has come, and then he has put his hand to the hole of the door, dripping with myrrh, concerning his meritorial work. When the Lord grants it, then the coming Lord's Day, where the church of a former age had thought it was fitting and profitable that for 7 weeks that there would be seven passion weeks, boys and girls, do you know what that means? To meditate in a special way upon the suffering and death of the precious Lord Jesus Christ as the way to the Father by the application of the Holy Spirit. Are there souls in my midst who are sinners? Then the children shall say, we are all sinners, and that is true. But have we now become a real sinner, a guilty sinner, a sinner that has learned that we cannot pay the price, a debt that reaches to the heavens? We have sung together out of Psalm 130, if thou, Lord, wouldest mark transgression, who can stand? Have we learned it, young and old? That is a lesson that needs to be learned here below, because how terrible it shall be to learn it at the end of our life, unconverted, with all our sins upon our account, not a penny to pay, and then to have to suffer forever and ever. But, and that is the word of grace, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And now, the Lord is free for that slothful bride, for the one he draws, another one he chastises, but that precious Savior, we read in Isaiah 49, verse 16, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls are continually before thee. And the bridegroom has withdrawn. The bride has come to the door, still dripping with that myrrh. That sweet Savior of the meritorial work of Christ. But the bridegroom has withdrawn. Then that bride, and that is so needful each time by renewal for the church, that they come in their guilt. Christ has taught his church to pray the fifth petition. What is the fifth petition, boys and girls? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That godly sorrow, as I read in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, that godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. The Lord still works it, but 'tis so missing in our day, and the fruit because people, we can try to stay a little reformed, but when that godly sorrow over sin is missed, then the church becomes world conformed. But the privilege of our text, all so much instruction concerning the Lord's Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ that hopes to be administered in the midst in a few weeks. And when we read our Heidelberg Catechism, what is necessary in Lord's Day 30, answer 81, then it does not say that we have, that there has been a time that is already a great wonder and a great blessing, but that we are sorrowful over our sins. But the drawing love of the bridegroom, when he has put his mediatorial hand to the hole in the door, dripping with myrrh, and then by renewal, as she has become a seeker, our state that was firm, as she was married to the bridegroom, but her condition, and her condition that became her burden, and that became her need. And to that end, in the night watches, then she has went around the streets of the city, seeking for the bridegroom. Oh, the streets of the means of grace, the word of God, of prayer, the street of examination. And she was chastised because before the words of our text, then we read the watchman that went about the city found me. Those are those that are called to labor in the Lord's vineyard, to deal honestly with souls. And when there is sin and lukewarmness concerning sanctification, to earnestly admonish. A blessing, of course, when it does not fall in the flesh, but when there may be a bowing. The watchman that went about the city found me, they smote me, they wounded me, but she was not destroyed. And why? Because they read of the greater bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. The chastisement of our peace, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The bridegroom was also led through the streets of Jerusalem in the night in which he was betrayed, and taken first to the house of Annas, and then to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, innocent, and yet condemned. He was led through the streets before Pontius Pilate, and there he was given over to be crucified. And therefore, the bride, oh, she was wounded, chastised, but she was not destroyed. And then further, then we read the keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. That was her covering. We read of that covering, the woman's long hair, and the veil, her glory, a token of subjection, a token of her brideship. Thus that speaks of assurance. The bride, the keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. Then in our text words, then we read of a bride with a great need and with an unbearable burden. Are there a few souls that have an unbearable burden? The late Reverend Van der Poel has stated in a sermon that there are many people that have bearable burdens, and that with those bearable burdens that they go lost. Is necessary that it becomes unbearable, young and old. Whereas our journey too, it does not begin with that brideship. We have spoken of little children, but now we read in our text that for that seeking bride, in the night watches on the streets of the city, that she has met daughters of Jerusalem. And do you now know, young and old, who those daughters are? Those daughters of whom we read in our text words. Because then we read that when that bride, when she has met those daughters, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, then the question is, how did that bride now know that those girls whom she met, that they were now daughters of Jerusalem? Because we do not read in our text words, those daughters, they can be so quiet. A blessing when it becomes their guilt. And when it becomes an unbearable burden, then we do not read that those daughters as bride here now seeking daughters of Jerusalem. No. The bride was the first one to speak. And how did the bride now know that they were now daughters of Jerusalem? Christ has declared in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, the verses 6 through 20, by their fruits ye shall know them. Thus girls and mothers, in her mind, then we pictured the bride was such a need. And then we pictured those daughters. And how do you picture them? Then surely not with a short dress, short hair, earrings, and all that worldly stuff. You must not do that, girls. That grieves the Lord. The devil has many ways to destroy his church. The late Reverend Kirsten has stated that separation, that is the strength of the church. Thus, those daughters, we do not read that they immediately speak, but they do speak by their walk. There's the general way, first seen. What a blessing that is. That does not mean, must not make a mistake. Seems many times the thought among our people is, when we are unconverted, then we can do more than God's people. Where is that written in the Bible? That is not written in the Bible. The Lord, as our Creator and benefactor, commands us that we bow under the authority of God's word. No, we cannot convert ourselves. That is free and sovereign grace. But we have a mind. But now we read that the bride, oh, when the Lord works with the Spirit, then the concerned church and the church that has been led further together, then they walk so close together. We have examples in the Bible. In Genesis 22, Abram as a type of the established church, and Isaac as the concerned. Then he was given to say, Father, we have the fire and the wood. What is that? Oh, the fire, that is the justice of God, and the wood, our sins. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Has that now become our question? That becomes the need of those daughters of Jerusalem. And what a privilege it is when the more further led church becomes jealous of the concerned church. Because surely then that bride, when she met those seeking daughters of Jerusalem, so earnest, so tender, so zealous, and so loving, then it can be that the church that has been led a little further, that they are led back to that beginning, when everything was so close, so tender, and so real. But a blessing when the more established church may be jealous of that concerned church, and the concerned church jealous of the established church. Oh, what a bond we read. Ah, for that bride. What a surprise and what a blessing. Oh, in that dark night, the streets may be deserted. And then those daughters, they are called daughters of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, that was the city of God, the temple, that was the life of those daughters. Oh, those daughters have learned with Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may behold the beauty all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, that is concerning the things of the temple, at all pointed to the Messiah, who would come in the fullness of time, and to inquire in his temple. I charge you, was as it were, that ye solemnly charge those daughters as with an oath, that as it was daughters, if you now find my beloved, then you must tell me. That can also be necessary, because those daughters, they can walk so silent over the earth. There can be so many questions and so many riddles. They hope to become a fitting bride, whiter, more pure, more holy, if possible, sinless. Has that ever become your desire? To live upon this world without grieving such a just and a good-doing God. And then there can be times when the cup of those daughters runs over. That also happens. Full is full. When the Lord comes over, when they may be encouraged that they have such a desire to tell their fellow man what the Lord has done. And then when the opportunity arises that their mouth can be closed, thus can be necessary and beneficial for those daughters. I charge you, O daughters, why is that O needed? Ah, that is an O of love. Then there is a bond. Because when the Lord works, then it does not make so much difference whether we are young or old. All in former days, could mention many different ones out of church history. Andrew Gray, 22 years, and ripe for heaven. Oh, he has stated in a certain sermon, when the Lord works by his Spirit, oh, what a striving there is to receive that favor and communion with God. But he has stated, then it is necessary the same striving to maintain that communion that the bride has learned. But now we read, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved. What does that imply? Can be that the bride has more hope for the daughters than the daughters themselves, because it is implied. We can all understand it. We do not tell our fellow man to look for someone whom they have never seen. But it needs to be one that we know and have seen. Thus it implies the condition of these daughters of Jerusalem, that they have come to a certain knowledge of the bridegroom. Also instruction. All for those daughters, then it can be for the living daughters and the true daughters that are wrought upon by the Spirit of God. Then what a questions, and what a strife, and what a riddles there can be concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Ah, for those daughters, for the bride that has received the bridegroom, a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not a question. But what about those daughters? Then in this chapter, then we have daughters that have a divine right for the Lord's Supper, because it is implied Christ has given that royal command to his church, do this in remembrance of me. And then it concerns that the gospel has been opened and we have received a knowledge of that precious Savior. And for those daughters, when that takes place, then their exercises become different, because then they become exercised with that precious mediator, his saving work, and the concern how they may be saved. Thus clear instruction in our text words. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that bride was not so proud. All those brides, they have much trouble with that bride. But here she has come to such a low place that she has asked the daughters of Jerusalem to help her to find that bridegroom. If ye find my beloved, that ye tell him. What must they now tell him? Must they now tell that bridegroom that the bride has said that it was the duty of the bridegroom to immediately to seek her out? Did the bride now tell those daughters, there have been consistory members that have visited me in house visitation, and they have dealt harshly with me, they have wounded me, and the keepers that I have lost my veil? We read none of those things. The bride, it is clear that she has become very, very guilty concerning that she let the bridegroom knock and that she did not open the door. Did she tell those daughters of Jerusalem, oh, tell them, I have these wounds? Must they tell them, I have repented? Do you know what the church learns? That the repentance needs repenting of. Have you learned it? But she simply stated, given to unburden her heart, tell him that I am sick of love, and congregation of that sickness, no one has ever perished. Oh, her burning heart with those holy desires. What a privilege for the church. We read of those travelers to Emmaus when the scriptures were opened that their hearts began to burn. Thus first, the daughters, they have met. Oh, we could speak. How discouraging and how disappointing and what a riddles there can be when the bride in a backslidden condition, when she is not the light, when she is not the salt, then how the devil can come to those daughters, that is now the church, how low it can come. But after the bride has spoken, then the mouth of those daughters has went open to declare the heart, the life, the exercises, and the state of those daughters. Let us first sing. Psalter 124, let us only sing 1 and 2. My heart doth overflow, a goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. 124, only 1 and 2. Thank you. the bride's exclamation, "My beloved is white and ruddy." The charging bride, and now secondly, the question bride. Then those daughters of Jerusalem have begun to speak. And verse 9, that is a text of examination, because young and old deceive not your poor soul. There can be emotion, there can be convictions, there can be feelings. But we need to learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and we need to be washed in the precious blood of the dear Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit, as I read in John 16, verse 14, "He," that is the Spirit, "shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you." And now the daughters have begun to speak, but they have spoken carefully. Oh, it is the desire of those true and living daughters of Jerusalem to learn of a way how that they may be relieved, that their debt may be forgiven. And concerning that Savior, his saving work. And to that end, oh, in the question, there it lies declared what lived in the heart of those daughters of Jerusalem. And then they have asked the bride, "What is thy beloved more than an other beloved?" It is true, that word "an other" has been added for further clarification, not in the original. "What is thy beloved more than beloved?" Then we read that she did not say, "What is now thy beloved more than my beloveds?" Oh, those daughters have their beloveds, but many times they are careful and they are timid in their speaking. Careful what to own. Oh, it is true. And those daughters, they can and they may not deny that they have experienced the wonderful things of the Lord. But now that question, "What is thy beloved more than an other beloved's?" Thus, in that question, then it is declared what lives in the heart of those daughters. It is declared their state, their desire, their possessions, and their missing. It is a privilege when those true living daughters of Jerusalem, when they come up to God's house, that their heart, because many times those daughters think that their way is so singular, that it is such a strange way, but how those daughters are given to rejoice when in God's house, for daughters that cannot declare themselves, that their heart may be declared out of God's holy word. "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women?" Thus then it is implied that those daughters of Jerusalem, that they also had their beloveds. And what are now those beloveds, those goodly pearls, as I read of that merchantman in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46. What are now the beloveds of those daughters? Are there such daughters that have their beloveds so precious? Then you must make a beginning. Oh, tell me, what are now those beloved of those daughters? Oh, we have not so much time. Mention a few. That godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. Their tears, their reformation, when the Lord grants a token for good, when he gives a special answer to prayer, providential deliverances, oh, at the throne of grace, when they may pour out their heart, when they may experience the joy of the service of the Lord, to receive those gifts from the bridegroom, where he grants faith, hope, love, humility, love, sincerity, and zeal. Oh, that bond with the true people of God, the blessings of the service of the Lord. Do we know anything of it? What is our life? Congregation, has the service of the Lord, has that become precious unto us to experience that he is such a good and a long-suffering master, that he deals not according to our sins? Ah, those daughters with their beloveds, then sometime it can seem that their cup runneth over, when they may receive that soft heart, when the praises of God may be upon their lips. But then it is needful that in this evening hour that we ask two special questions to those daughters of Jerusalem, that as it were, boys and girls, that we go on house visitation. And what an encouragement is when you may meet those true daughters visible in their life, when they may receive a little freedom to unburden their heart what they have experienced. Oh, it is true, can come times that they thought, had I been silent, because we shall not broaden it out further. But then we must ask those daughters two very important questions. And those are questions that those true daughters are struggling, are troubled, are burdened with. And then the first question, that is in relationship to the answer of the bride, because she is answered, my beloved is white and ruddy. And therefore, daughters of Jerusalem, concerning your beloveds, are they now white? Because that is necessary. Must be perfect, because those daughters, they are much exercised with the justice of God, with that satisfaction. And our daughters are your beloveds, now white, unspotted. Are they without sin and without pollution? And then the tears start to roll. Oh, in the beginning, then those daughters, they have so sincerely hoped that there would come a time that those beloveds, that they would indeed be white. The second question, daughters of Jerusalem, are they ready? Are they red? What we mean by that second question, do they satisfy the perfect, an infant justice of God? Do your beloveds, when you put them in the weigh scale of God's perfect justice, do they tip the balance? And then those daughters, they learn and are given to confess, weighed in the balances with all their beloveds and found wanting. Have we learned it, young and old, that we cannot pay? Let me ask you, have you now tried it? It's the way the church learns it. It's not learned out of books. It's learned by experience. There's a blessing when there may be such souls in the midst of a congregation that are so busy with those matters, those people you don't have to warn that they go not into the world, but their beloveds. But now the bride is given to speak, a glorious bride, all given to speak of her precious bridegroom, that is the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And then she is given to exalt him, because we read in verse 10, my beloved, oh, it is true, backslidden, but it has become lively. My beloved, in the first place, is white, perfect, his active obedience. We read in Luke 1, verse 35, no original sin. And in John 8, verse 46, who convinceth me of sin? He was that perfect Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish. He has obeyed the law perfectly. We call that the active obedience of Christ. He was white. Concerning his person, concerning his work, concerning his love, concerning his willingness, concerning his faithfulness, he was the willing servant of the Father. But not only white, but also ruddy, because we read in Isaiah 63, verse 3, wherefore art thou red in thy apparel? In Zechariah 1, verse 8, we read of the man upon the red horse, that road among the myrtle trees. That is his passive obedience. Oh, the Lamb, we read of that Lamb in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. Redeemed not with corruptible things as gold and silver, but by the precious blood of the Lamb without blemish. Thus that perfect white Lamb, he was stained red. He was led to the cross. He has shed his blood. He has satisfied justice. He has paid the price. And so the bride may go free. The bride to embrace those gifts and those blessings by true saving faith. In Ephesians 2 verse 8, 'tis a gift of God. What a blessed exchange. The black bride, all her debt put on the account of the bridegroom, and the merited righteousness placed upon the bride. What an instruction for the daughters of Jerusalem. And concerning that white being ruddy, may the Lord grant his blessing in the passion season, young and old. How is it with us? Where are we traveling to? We know it. We are traveling to a never-ending and all-decisive eternity. How is it with our sins? Are they still on our account? How do we live with it? My unconverted fellow travelers, there is still room in that golden chariot of Solomon. Use the means of grace. Beg the Lord that you may be born in Zion, that you may become such a living daughter with those beloved saw, then you are ruined for the world. But we read in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46, that that merchant man has come upon the pearl of great price. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. With him we can live. With him we can die. And then in the furtherance of this chapter, oh, those daughters were all ears when she has explained her precious bridegroom many different particulars. And then she is ended, yea, he is altogether lovely. Christ is asked in Matthew 22, verse 42, I believe, what think ye of Christ? Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's day, wherein this morning hour thy word was read, this evening proclaimed. We may thank thee for thy help. May the message not remain on the bench in church, but may it be taken home. May there be spoken about it. May there be examination to which people we belong. Ah, there are two kinds, unconverted and converted. And among the unconverted, not all the same, but so it is also among thy children. And then the necessity that justice needs to be satisfied, that her debt needs to be paid. Lord, remember this people we may commence in other week. Well, to watch over us, remember the mothers at home with the children, at work, at school, on the way. Remember the flock which we have left behind, also in this evening, when they come up to thy house. Well, thou remember the brother elder, bless thy word, and return us safely to them. Well, thou keep from danger and from harm, keep from sin and temptation. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings. Watch over us in this night, and that in the morning hour we may awake refreshed with strength and courage for our labors. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 422. And let us only sing a stanza 5. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. And what follows, Psalter 422, only the 5th stanza. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.